You're listening to Femme Nottingham. It's just gone five and you're listening to URN. Today, we're talking about commercialised feminism, or commodity feminism, as some people call it. So commodity feminism is essentially using the idea of feminism, being a feminist, for commercial gain, so for monetary value, essentially. And it's something that we've seen happen in the last 10 years, more specifically sort of on the rise in the last 5 years, very much so. And so this is with things like campaigns using feminism for clicks, which means basically using it to get clicks onto websites, using feminism on t-shirts, using slogans like girl power and feminism, definitions of feminism on t-shirts, on bags, all of these kind of things. But using feminism instead of as an ideology, instead of as a movement, actually to make money off it. So it's things like, and we've all seen them around, and I see them a lot on campus, it's t-shirts like using pop culture particularly to connect to feminism. So it's things like the Mean Girls reference on Wednesdays, we wear pink is the Mean Girls reference, but the t-shirt that a lot of people have that Forever 21 brought out was on Wednesdays we smash the patriarchy, which in sentiment is great. But is the actual concept of using it for monetary gain, this idea of feminism and gender equality, is that problematic? So that is what we are talking about. A lot of people have come out, quite a few scholars have come out and said that actually it's an inevitable thing. If we live in a capitalist society, ideas and notions of everything will be turned into monetary value in the end. That's quite a cynical view, and I'm not going to get into a politics essay because that's not what we're all listening for. So it's interesting because also things like hashtag he for she campaign, the one that Emma Watson did a few years back, has been dragged through this. And it's something that we're calling femvertising, essentially female-directed advertising. And it's something that in the last few years, it's really, really been directed at. The term was created about 2 years ago. And so where companies in the past have used sex to sell, they're now using female empowerment as a way of selling products. So feminism essentially at the moment is trending. And that's quite an interesting concept to get our heads around. Feminism, despite the fact that it's still so taboo in so many places to discuss being a feminist, generally in the mainstream of definitely 21st century Western culture, it's trending, which means there's money attached to it. In all, it means we'll probably see more drives to sell young women empowerment through individual brands or products. I don't necessarily think this is the worst thing in the world. I think there are bigger barriers that we need to fix with feminism. Likely ones with catchy slogans, probably, that you can take off on Twitter and ignore any boring analysis of gender inequality in favour of feeling good and just reposting something that makes you look good online. It encourages sisterly encouragement, which I think is really important. Likes, shares and stories told in 140 characters, which of course is how long a tweet is. It's easily digestible. It's a soft way to get teenagers, probably in particular, hooked on a brand. Studies have shown that you're more likely to get hooked on a brand the younger you are. These tweets, these likes, these shares, easily digestible, easily hooked on a movement for teenage girls. And it's all about a personal brand. If I go on any of my social media accounts, and despite the fact that I don't think any of my social media portrays something different than I am in person, they are a brand. And I think it would be naive to say otherwise. And that is exactly what femvertising and hashtag feminism is all about. You're going to post the things that you think make you look good. You're not going to post something that you think is going to ruin your quote-unquote brand online. We discussed earlier in the show what it was, what that entails, but now actually discussing what it means for feminism and is it a good thing? I am joined by the big picture host, Rebecca. Hello.
Hello.
What do you think about the commercialisation of feminism?
I think like this topic comes up quite a bit with certain like liberation movements. You see it in Pride Month. There's a very split audience over the fact that lots of different shops start producing t-shirts, hoodies with pride flags on, and that's fantastic, obviously, because you know, more representation in anything the better. And I think that's why sometimes it does seem different with feminism, because it's a kind of overall attitude that needs accepting. And I think I can definitely understand in some ways why people would like to invest their money in clothes like that, but when people are buying clothes with some form of slogan on,
yeah,
they're aware of that. Like, you wouldn't go around just wearing like a Conservative Party t-shirt
if you were a Labour member. Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's not what you do. And I wouldn't think people do it just for the recognition, but I think there's definitely an awareness of what people are going to think. Oh, you want people to think, you know, I'm a feminist, mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think trying to use feminism to make yourself feel better about yourself in like a more aesthetic way mm-hmm. is very worrying. And it takes the purpose out of it, especially when we consider, like, I think kind of the main places that do this are like Primark,
Forever H&M, 21, yeah.
And they're like fast fashion shops. Mm-hmm. So they produce like a ridiculous amount of clothing, and quite a lot of the women that they claim they're supporting through these like hashtag feminism t-shirts, the women that they claim they're supporting are working less than the living wage to try and... But in their stores to try and make money for their families internationally. And whilst on the one hand it might be causing some form of empowerment for a like white woman in the UK that can afford to buy it, at the same time there's a reality of the knock-on effect this is having on other people. And I think if things like t-shirts and clothing and the hashtag feminism kind of concept you've been talking about, if it's not coming through some form of charitable means that's going to contribute towards the entire view of feminism, and if it's only going to ruin lives in the process, then I think it's definitely not something that you want to bracket under feminism.
I think that's really interesting. And sort of picking up two things that you said there. The first being you said about sort of a personal brand. Mm-hmm. People wearing, say, I was talking about one that's come out recently is On Wednesdays We Smash the Patriarchy.
Yeah.
That was a t-shirt that Forever 21 made. And it's a brand. It's something like if I, say, retweeted something on Twitter about a women's march or something like that, it's about a brand and it's about creating this illusion of feminism. Mm. Does that necessarily make it a bad thing if we accept what feminism is doing? And I'll discuss the things about the sweatshops and fast fashion in one second, but sort of the notion of feminism, and say I wanted to walk around with a women's sign on my shirt, or I wanted to retweet about feminist ideas, surely I'm feeling very torn about it, because surely that means that we're just raising awareness and opening the discussion about feminism. Where do we draw the line?
I think, yes, there's definitely a case of opening a discussion mm-hmm. about it through having... Because naturally, if you see a t-shirt that says something to do with feminism, you're going to start thinking about it. Mm-hmm. You're going to start discussing it, especially if it's in kind of cheaper clothing stores where people that might not have considered or might not have had the education mm-hmm. to consider the wide, broader concept of feminism than kind of what they see in their day-to-day lives. And so I think on that hand it's good. I want to kind of catch on to what you said about the personal brand mm-hmm. because I think that whole thing in general is quite negative, like people doing things just to put towards their own brand and identity. But I think the more people that are standing up and saying, you know, I am a feminist and this is what I'm doing, if they wear a t-shirt with it on or not, I don't think that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. I think what makes a difference is whether or not they act on it.
Yeah.
If you're going to wear something or claim that you're something, you need to act on it. It's all well and good having like a hat that says I love feminism on it, but you don't support your fellow women internationally, you don't support women your age that are in kind of different social groups to mm-hmm. you, and you work to try and bring women down, that's not good. That's not
feminism.
Yeah, it's not feminism at all.
And that's actually harks back to the second point I was going to make, that this kind of hashtag feminism and definitely commercialized feminism mm-hmm. definitely is what is giving feminism a bad name in the sense of Western white feminists.
Yeah.
And if you're a feminist, you are not a feminist if you only fight for women that look like you and are in the same social group as you. And it's reason why I started this show in the first place. So I heard a woman on the bus say, I don't really know why we need feminism anymore. And that was a woman in a privileged university position country. There's still, I use the example all the time, there's women being forced into marriages at the age of 13 across the world. There's women, for so many different reasons, being still oppressed. And it's sort of things like this, like a t-shirt, using it as a personal brand, as something to make you look better. Yeah. It's quite interesting. And Beyonce has been called out about this with the fast fashion. So her line, Ivy Park, that is in Topshop, was kind of, Beyonce is kind of seen as a goddess of sort of liberal bourgeois feminists.
Yeah.
And she's kind of seen as this poster girl, and she's always used, if there's a feminist quote on any Pinterest post, there's probably a photo of Beyonce next to it.
Yeah. Her famous Who Run the World.
Girls,
that,
exactly.
That quote will go down in history for her.
That's definitely on a t-shirt.
Yeah.
And this is problematic because Ivy Park was seen, thousands and thousands and thousands of women in third world countries were being made and paid less than the minimum wage in those countries to make this. And so that's, I just don't understand how that works.
Yeah.
That this image of, yes, you can be a feminist and we can empower women, but only if you can afford it and you're Western and you look like the women modelling the t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's that, like I said before, the case of applying what you think. I think my biggest problem with that whole situation is that idealizing people under a certain ideology. So like you can't have one person to represent feminism. If feminism to you is Beyonce, what are you even thinking? You know, like, and I know she, obviously she's a part of the movement, and she's, I'm pretty sure she said herself she is a feminist.
Yeah, she has come out.
But what she needs to do is realize she is a feminist. Okay, what is she doing within her business? And this is her business. It's something she set up herself.
She's in control of it.
She needs to work down to the very bottom of her company and look at who she is manipulating and what is happening to women in that process.
I certainly agree. And I think it's, don't be a feminist when it suits you.
Yeah.
I think feminism can certainly be something that women do when they feel like it doesn't get in the way, and say, oh yes, I'm a feminist in front of a group of girls, but oh, I wouldn't tell this boy that I like that I'm a feminist, because that might put them off.
That really confuses me. There was a big thing on Twitter, actually. It sounds like a bit of a silly example, but there was this guy was going on about was saying something about International Men's Day, and so some people responded like, yeah, there is an International Men's Day, and this one girl responded like, he said something about feminism, and then she said like, imagine being a feminist, like in a rude way, like imagine being a feminist. And he, like, that tweet just blew up because so many people were like, what on earth is she on about? But then on the alternative, she started being, this is what I was really conflicted about this, I know it was just like a bit of Twitter beef, but she started being like, you know, attacked over the internet and being made fun of for what she said, and people saying things about her appearance and things like that. And if you want to encourage someone into feminism, it's just not the way to go about it. But obviously I completely disagree with what she said, like I think it's absolutely ridiculous. But I think we need to consider the kind of what you're doing as a feminist. Like, are you trying to bring other people down?
Yeah.
If you're trying to bring other women down, you're just not a feminist. And it links back to, like you said, about Beyonce, and it links back to, like we said, about people buying t-shirts and not going through with it.
Yeah.
You need to apply what you say.
Don't be a superficial feminist.
Yeah, yeah.
And something I was talking about earlier to finish was something called femvertising. So femvertising is something that's a word that people have made up, essentially, in the last few years. And it's directing advertising at women specifically, but specifically female empowerment. So things like hashtag this girl can.
Yeah.
The campaign for Like a Girl. It was that like throw like a girl advert from Dove. also under the new Gillette one, which was the fragile masculinity.
Yeah.
So it's like gendered advertising.
Gendered advertising. Yeah.
And people are saying it's the biggest advertising shift since advertising companies used sex to sell. And so saying that they'll continue to use, say, always, for example, with the Like a Girl campaign and Dove, mm-hmm. Use female empowerment. And also, yeah, This Girl Can, trying to get women into sports and activities because mm-hmm. historically haven't been so as much as a gender.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it? Because I think there are some really wonderful messages in the campaigns, but it is still selling products.
Yeah, I think the case of like This Girl Can, like they are a charity, I'm yeah. pretty sure. I know they produce clothing and things like that, but it's to work towards like they go into schools and they get
an awareness.
Girls getting into sport. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was like 17 when I first saw yeah. this, and I was like, oh, I wish I'd seen that when I was growing up. Like
yeah.
when I was like 13, and if you start going through puberty, you're like, okay, I don't want to do all these sports I wanted to do. Or you still want to do them, but you're too anxious
yeah.
to. And I wish I'd seen some advert somewhere that had said like, you can go and do rugby,
yeah.
you can go and do football. Like, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to unfortunately accept that we live in a world where commercialization is the kind of...
It's the norm.
Yeah, and that controls what people view.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what people buy is what they think. And so if it is a company that is promoting women, like female empowerment,
yeah.
then I think people that strive towards female empowerment will buy from that company.
Yeah.
And then again, it just depends if that company is applying what they're advertising. Like in the case of This Girl Can, I know they do. I know you were saying about some other, the Dove campaign.
Dove, yes. Dove did also a lot of body positivity.
They
so they've
did,
done,
yeah, I was going to say.
They've done sort of bodies come in all shapes and sizes mm-hmm. and show women in all of different colours, body shapes, backgrounds, mm-hmm. All in the same white underwear. And that's quite a big thing of Dove recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think those kind of movements are fantastic. Because I don't really buy, like, I don't think I normally buy stuff from Dove, but mm-hmm. still just seeing the advert is comforting.
Yes.
It's not made me, I don't think, want to buy more stuff from them.
Yes.
I know it would have made some people want to. But I think what you need to see is think like, oh, this is a piece of positive propaganda. I'm going to use that properly rather than because there. I think although I do not agree with this kind of commercialization aspect that there is, we need to not completely negate every single thing that stands for feminism.
Yeah.
Just because it's done by a business, there is like a worrying because then you get the kind of stereotypes of, you know, certain white feminists
yeah.
and things like that, and you get it looking negative and say, you know, oh, this doesn't empower women, so, you know, like, we'll cancel it.
Yeah.
But let's not think about that. And then, like, you've lost all your propaganda.
I think it's being sensible as well in accepting that we do live in a society that is commercialised, mm-hmm. is surrounded by business. That doesn't necessarily need to be a negative thing. But as you said, I think what's really pulled out of here with commercial feminism and hashtag feminism is the importance of not being a superficial feminist.
Definitely.
That's been this week's episode of Feminotium, commercialisation of feminism and hashtag feminism.